Rat Pack, where you at?
Welcome to Thunderdome.
Hey, what's going on? It's Monday, November 25th. This is the rant. I'm Jeff. That was awesome. I really enjoyed yesterday around the NFL. Obviously, not all the performances were perfect, but what a fitting end to a crazy week with Saquon Barkley doing his stuff. Obviously, we got to recap everything around the NFL for you here on the podcast today. So we're going to dive into it. I should mention, though, before I do that, we got a sale going on over at ftnfantasy.com. 20% off this week. It goes until Monday, Cyber Monday, a week from today at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. So if you want to get in, or if you want to give a gift or something like that, now is the time to do it. ftnfantasy.com. All right, let's get into the games. Let's start with a very intriguing game, divisional game between Minnesota and Chicago. And of course, Minnesota managed to pull this out. This one was fascinating, though. Now, obviously, the Chicago side is very intriguing, but let's go on the Minnesota side. So big game out of Aaron Jones. We kind of needed that. It was nice to see him score and not Cam Akers. Sam Darnold tops 300 passing yards. But the notable thing here, Justin Jefferson. 2 for 27. Should you freak out and panic? Well, no, never. But no, I actually think this is good, believe it or not. Even though you didn't get your fantasy points out of Justin Jefferson, we saw Jordan Addison go off 8 for 162 and 1. We saw TJ Hockenson go off as well in this one. He put up 7 for 114 with no Josh Oliver. Why is it good? Well, Sam Darnold didn't force the issue to Justin Jefferson. A couple weeks ago, he had 3 interceptions, forcing the issue to Justin Jefferson. He didn't do it here. And obviously, Jefferson was prioritized by the Bears. Well, if this offense can show you that they can beat up on you with other players, then they aren't going to be able to prioritize Jefferson quite as much going forward. So I don't think that was a bad thing, even though the fantasy line wasn't good. Caleb Williams, 340 and 2. Again, the ball was getting out quicker. Again, he's targeting his guys. I mean, 15 targets for Keenan Allen, 9 for 86 and a touchdown. Rome Odunze, another 10-target game. He didn't have a big fantasy line, but another 10-target game. Back-to-back weeks with 10 targets. Cole Kmet, 7 for 64 on 10 targets. And then DJ Moore, only 7 targets, but made the most of them, 7 for 106 and a touchdown. A bit of a boom week, but you know, we see him with 7 catches in back-to-back weeks. I think this is really interesting for DJ Moore. Maybe we're turning a bit of a corner with him. DeAndre Swift had a tough outing here, was banged up in practice all week, didn't get the touchdown. Of course, Roshan Johnson got the goal line carry, but what can you really do with DeAndre Swift? Hopefully he gets healthy as we move forward, but the Bears offense all of a sudden looking very, very interesting. All right, up next, the Lions beating the Colts. And let's look on the Indianapolis side. So I said it on this podcast last week. If you can't handle the bus, don't chase the boom, right? And that was the advice with Anthony Richardson, because games like this can happen with him. He didn't even complete 40% of his passes. Now, he ran 10 times for 61 yards. Great. But it was not a good fantasy week. If you can't handle that, don't chase the boom. If you're a fantasy manager out there and this type of thing would drive you nuts, or not even drive you nuts like you're pissed off, but like you're all woe is me for the next week, don't roster dudes like this. Like there's nothing out there that says you have to roster boom or bust guys like DJ Moore is another one who we just talked about. You don't have to roster those guys. Play within your own sanity. And Anthony Richardson will drive a lot of people insane. Now you could be like me and I don't care. Honestly, I know if I'm chasing a boom that the bus could be there as well. And if it happens, it happens. It's part of the game. But I know not a lot of people think that way. So be aware of that with him. The good news is he at least targeted Michael Pittman 7 times, 6 for 96. Decent game for Pittman. Over to the other side, this was more of the game that I expected last week for the Lions, in that you had Sonic and Knuckles going off, 21 for 90 and 2 scores for Gibbs. Montgomery, only 37 rushing yards and a score. He left the game with an injury, but he does have optimism for playing on Thanksgiving. It's a shoulder issue for him. Otherwise, I mean, not much doing for the Lions because they really didn't have a challenge here. So let's look forward for the Lions, and the next game is the Bears. Now, 2 weeks ago, I would have said, ugh. Right now, I'm saying, well, that's kind of an interesting game. Then they get the Packers, tough. Then they get the Bills, back to the Bears, and then whatever version of the San Francisco 49ers that exists in week 17. That team is all over the place. So it's not exactly the easiest stretch, but I think that's actually good for Jared Goff because it won't be blowouts. And that's really what we want to avoid if you want, you know, Jared Goff, Amon-Ra, maybe Jameson Williams, possibly Sam Laporta. He did have 6 targets in this game. All right, moving on to the next contest. New England and Miami. Tua, baby. 317 and 4. He's rolling, and this is what he needs to do to be a strong fantasy asset because he's not going to use his legs. So the 4 passing touchdowns go to Jalen Waddle, Jonnu Smith, who is surging, and Devon Achane. I made this point last week that I don't think this offense can sustain more than 3 big fantasy performers in a given week, and it happens yet again. Now, normally the odd man out recently has been Jalen Waddle, but this week it was Tyreek Hill. Now, he went 5 for 48, which isn't terrible by any stretch. Just a nice floor for him. But when Achane scores twice, and Achane didn't really do that much, but he did score twice. When Waddle has a huge game, when Jonnu has a huge game, there's really not much more meat left on the bone. Jonnu has the look of a top 10 tight end, doesn't he? And it's the volume and then what he does with the volume. And then Jalen Waddle, I had a lot of people last week saying they wanted to drop him. And I jokingly said, you know, I know I've read this script before. I know how this ends for you if you drop Jalen Waddle. He will go out, whoever picks him up, you're going to face that team in the first week of the playoffs, and he's going to go nuts. But I forgot about the prequel. If you drop him, the week you drop him, he goes nuts. So, you know, we don't drop wide receiver 36. Like, you just don't do it. I know that he's boom or bust, but you don't do that. And if you do, you better have somebody better to pick up. And if you don't, then there's no reason to drop a player. Just don't start him if you really are, you know, that much not into him. But this is what Waddle's capable of. On the other side, there really wasn't much doing here. Drake May's still fine. Wasn't great for fantasy here, 222 and 1, but he's still fine. I don't have any issues with him. They just don't really have surrounding talent. Hunter Henry at least did see 8 targets, 5 for 44 for him. Moving on to Tampa and the Giants, the Tommy DeVito experiment was not good. I don't know why they went with him. I mean, maybe they really are just trying to tank for a quarterback, because right now, the only team that is worse than them is the Jaguars. And I think it's because of a tiebreaker. I'd have to break it down. But technically, if the draft was today, Jaguars would be picking first and the Giants would be picking second. Jags don't need a quarterback. I don't know. They trade out of that spot. I would, but who knows? This year, there isn't maybe as much intrigue at the quarterback position as there are in years past, although I still think we have 2 going in the top 5. But you're the Giants. Who are you taking? You taking Cam Ward? Cam Ward can be really frustrating. He's very talented, but he can be very frustrating. Or the other guy. Shedeur Sanders. Is that a package deal, by the way? Do you get Deion with him as your new head coach? Shedeur is talented. Let's be clear about that. But there's a lot more that comes with him than just what you have on the field. I don't know what the answer is. Obviously, Daniel Jones is gone. We'll see where he signs. The more I've kind of poked around on this one, the more it seems like he's going to sign as a backup somewhere with like a contending team. We'll see. I would expect it to happen this week. I don't think he goes to the Raiders. I really don't. You know, if he went to the Raiders, first and foremost, that would be him trying to audition for a job next year. But if you're the Raiders, why would you want that? I don't see wanting to win any games here. You are technically the 3rd team in the draft right now. You'd be picking 3. And again, if Jacksonville doesn't go quarterback, which that's the expectation, then you have the Giants take a quarterback ahead of you, and then you take the other quarterback. You know, maybe you end up with Shedeur. Actually, Shedeur in Vegas would kind of make a lot of sense to me. In my head, that's the landing spot. But anyway, my first mock draft is still, well, I guess we're probably about a month and a half away from that. So I'm not there yet. Okay. Let me throw some, and by the way, Malik Nabers 6 for 64. He's still going to see volume. He saw 9 targets. But let me throw some cold water on the Bucky Irving thing. I know there are a lot of people out there who are chasing the numbers, right? And you see Bucky Irving go out, you see him put up a big line, and you think, well, this is it now. He's locked in as an RB1. 12 for 87 and a score. And then he catches 6 for 64. Huge week. But it was against the Giants. And there is more to the story here. Snaps-wise, he played 34 snaps. That was 55%. Rashad White played 29 snaps. That was 47%. This is still the same backfield. There's no change here. Yes, he had a great week this week, and that's why we ranked him inside the top 24. But I think, you know, taking this week and just simply assuming this is what it always will be is a huge mistake. And that happens. That's a weekly mistake in fantasy football. People make that mistake every week. And it's not always the good. Sometimes it's the bad. Like if a player is coming off of a down week, then that player is always going to suck, right? I'll give you an example. Cortland Sutton coming up in a little bit. And it just isn't the case. That's not the way the NFL works. You don't always have, well, if you're Saquon Barkley, but if you're Bucky Irving in a timeshare backfield, you're not always going to have massive, massive weeks. We knew he had the capability. This is not like this is some guy like Sincere McCormick who we've never heard of before. Well, I have heard of him. You probably heard of him as well if you read the Rookie Fantasy Scouting Guide. But generally speaking, nobody knew who the heck he was, and he didn't do anything. But it's like we knew Bucky Irving's decent, and they faced the Giants in a very favorable game script. Now, mind you, they scored 4 rushing touchdowns, Irving, White, Tucker, and Mayfield all getting in the end zone. So Mayfield goes 294, no passing scores. I'm not overly concerned. Mike Evans back out there, 5 for 68. About all you can hope for in a game like this type of, you know, just awful game script for the passing game. All right, moving on to Dallas and Washington. Beware of those divisional games. Dallas winning 34-26. Dallas putting up 34 points with Cooper Rush under center. All right, I'll take it. 247-2. Cooper Rush still has some viability in Superflex, no doubt about it. CeeDee Lamb, not a massive yardage day, but he had 10 catches. He has 67 yards on 10 catches with 12 targets in this contest. 12th career game with 10 catches for him. That is the, or 10 plus. That's the record for the Cowboys. He has 44 consecutive games with 4-plus receptions. Also, that's an NFL record. He broke Michael Thomas's record. That's insane. That's like a DiMaggio-type streak right there. I mean, obviously, he's got a little ways to get to DiMaggio, but 44 is impressive. Let's move to the other side. Enrico Dowdle was solid. It's a 60-minute game. It's a 60-minute game. It is not a 32-minute game. Or a 44-minute game, or heck, even a 59-minute game. It's a 60-minute game. And yesterday I saw a lot of people halfway through the game complaining like you know what about Jaden Daniels. It's a 60-minute game. Sure, he didn't put up points, but points came in bunches. I mean, you had the Terry McLaurin touchdown alone. That took Terry McLaurin from being like a what the heck type of play, like yikes, to a really good play. 86 yard touchdowns will do that. And then all of a sudden, Jane Daniels, 275-2, 7 for 74 in his first rushing touchdown since week 4. All of a sudden, Jane Daniels, really good fantasy play. So it's a 60-minute game. They did lose both of their running backs in this game. So Brian Robinson Jr. left with an ankle injury. He's been banged up a good portion of the season, right? He missed 3 of the previous 6 with knee and hamstring issues. I don't know what his status for this week will be. Austin Eckler in concussion protocol. If neither one of them can go, Jeremy McNichols would be the lead back for this next contest. All right, let's move on to Kansas City, Carolina. Carolina showing up. You know, this is a game where they didn't win, but I still think it's a win for them, if that makes sense. They only lost by 3 points to Kansas City. They put up 27 points on Kansas City. Like, not bad. Bryce Young, 263-1. Honestly, we have to give a lot of credit to Canales. Like, we're not there yet. We're not at the end of the season. We're not looking back and saying, oh, you know, well, he looked okay for a minute there and then he faded. I don't know what's going to happen from here, but he, since taking the job back, Bryce Young has looked really solid. And if they can turn him into a viable starter, that is so massive for this organization. Like, they're a 3-win team. I think ultimately they win 5 games. Like, I do think they're not done winning. I don't think they finish out with just 3 wins. They'll pick in the top 10, but if you don't have to pick a quarterback, you have a leg up on everybody else. Now you don't have to bump those guys up the board just because of how important the position is, and you can actually take the best guy on the board when you're up. Because a lot of years, and especially this one, a lot of the non-quarterbacks, you know, they fall because quarterbacks are there. Like I said a few minutes ago, there's going to be at least 2 quarterbacks in the top 5. I don't think, like, especially after what Milroe did this past week, I don't think he's up there. I've seen some people put Aller in the first round, maybe not in the first round. You know, what happens with, like, some of these other guys? Does anybody view Beck as a first rounder? What about Quinn Ewers? Like, I don't have these answers yet. But regardless, you don't have to worry about that if you have a starter. David Moore showing up. Welcome to the party, man. 10 targets, 6 for 81 and a touchdown. I guess we'll have to consider him in deeper leagues. Chuba continuing to roll. Jonathan Brooks made his debut and did not do a whole heck of a lot, as I expected. He ended up with 5 snaps played. Now, he was the clear backup, but Chuba Hubbard played 88% of the snaps. So I don't think that changes much going forward. To the other side, Mahomes, 3 passing touchdowns in back-to-back games. He threw 2 to Noah Gray again. Now, Noah Gray is not playing a ton. He only had 4 targets. He ran 21 routes compared to 37 routes and 8 targets for Travis Kelce. But you got to take a guy for real if he scores 2 touchdowns in back-to-back games. One game can be a fluke. 2 weeks is more of a trend. Now, I don't think he's going to score 2 every week, obviously, but it means that he's going to be involved. Got to take that for real. And it makes sense because they don't have pass catchers. You know, they have DeAndre Hopkins, and then what? Like, Worthy is, like, more gadgety. I like Worthy, don't get me wrong, but... And then Kelce, 6 for 62. All right, we'll take that. He passed Antonio Gates for 3rd all-time tight ends receiving yards, so that's solid right there. Kareem Hunt against one of the defenses that you should beat up on the ground goes 16 for 68, 4.3 yards per carry. He touched the ball 19 times, but I sure as heck think that when Pacheco is back, it's going to be all Pacheco because Kareem Hunt just lackluster. I mean, they knew they could give him a big workload, but he just lackluster with that workload. That's all. So that was probably the last hurrah there with Kareem Hunt. All right, moving on to the next contest, which is Tennessee and Houston. Don't mess with divisional games. Seriously. Tennessee 32-27. Will Levis, I think, was another, it wasn't a perfect game by any stretch, but another solid one. 278 and 2, ran 8 times, just 10 yards, but whatever. If he can keep doing this, like Carolina, Tennessee could play themselves out of having to address the position. You know, only about a month and a half ago, we were thinking, uh-oh, you know, they're going to be picking early. They're going to need a quarterback. Well, Levis hasn't been that bad. And that's the name of the game for a young quarterback like him who does have some developing to do. It's the incremental change over time. It's not like you're not going to have this dramatic evolutionary leap forward in the span of a week or two. You know, it's incremental change. That's what we're looking for, and we're getting it out of Will Levis. He's targeting Calvin Ridley frequently. You know, 5 for 93 for Ridley is a midpoint game, which was not something we would get a lot out of him, and it's encouraging. So I like that for Levis, very super flex worthy. Tony Pollard, heck of a season for him. With no Tajay Spears, he goes 24 for 119 and a score like that right there. Beware of Nick Westbrook Akine. Yes, he's scoring touchdowns, but man, 2 catches in another game, I'm just very wary over that. You do what you got to do on waivers, but that is not my style right there. Nico Collins, 5 for 92 and a touchdown. He's back. We're good to go there. This was a weird one, though, because the Titans figured out how to do something that the rest of the NFL seemingly hasn't. They stopped Joe Mixon. And it wasn't even like they stopped him on the ground, but he got it done as a pass catcher. No, they stopped him across the board. 14 for 22. as a runner, and then 5 for 23 as a pass catcher. I mean, he did get 7.3 PPR points there, but he did nothing in this game. On 19 touches, Joe Mixon had 45 scrimmage yards. Yikes. Now, I do think better days will be ahead, though I don't want to take the schedule lightly here for the Houston Texans. They get Jacksonville this week. Now, it is a divisional game, though, and I don't want to downplay that. Then their stretch run. Week 15 after their week 14 bye, you get Miami. Miami could be in the playoff mix because they're the eight right now. They could be pushing for a playoff spot. You get Kansas City, then Baltimore. That's your stretch run for fantasy. They get Tennessee in week 18. That's not optimal. It's not optimal. I'm not panicking or anything, but you know, Houston is not trending in the right direction right now. Denver and the Raiders. So Denver doing what they needed to do here, 29-19. Denver is a rock solid team. Credit to Sean Payton. Credit to Bo Nix, 273-2. The two, of course, go to Cortland Sutton. Cortland Sutton is a prime example of people cutting a player just to cut him. Now, not everybody did this, but you can't just assume one game is what they're always going to do. And of course, the one game I'm going to point to happened in week 7. It was against the New Orleans Saints. Cortland Sutton had zero, not even a target, zero in the box score, zero. That's frustrating, especially if you start him as a flex or a wide receiver 3 or whatever he was that week. Since then, here's what he's done. 8 on 11 for 100, 7 on 10 for 122, 6 on 9 for 70 and a touchdown, 7 on 8 for 78, 8 on 10 for 97 and 2. This shows you things can change so quickly in the NFL. So quickly. One game he was devastating, and then he's just been awesome for the last 5 games. Awesome. Keep getting asked, should I drop Audric Estime? My answer, I'm never going to tell anybody to drop anybody. I used to do that. I think it's really crappy advice. I try to not give, I know it's hard to believe, crappy advice, but I really do. I think it's crappy advice. Oh yeah, drop him. Well, I don't know. Who are you dropping him for? So here's the advice, and I think this is a better way of viewing it, much better advice. Any player is droppable if we have somebody better to pick up. Plain and simple. Not dropping just for the sake of dropping. That has no purpose whatsoever. Now, SMA only played 5 snaps, but the whole backfield is a mess. I don't want anything to do with this backfield if I can get away with it. But if you have somebody to drop him for, then drop him. If not, don't drop him, right? Plain and simple. To the other side, so hopefully you were up to speed. Like last week, earlier in the week, we had some Dylan Lauby buzz. Then we heard from the beat that it was going to be Ameer Abdullah. Like, and it was very clear. And if you're a subscriber at FTNFantasy.com, I had a lot of people saying, wait, you're ranking Abdullah ahead of Lauby? Yes. And by a good bit. In fact, Abdullah ended up being a flex when it was all said and done. I think I had him at 30. Let me just double check. No, I had him at 29. Let me see. 29. So all said and done, not too shabby if you used him because he scored a touchdown. 5 for 37 in the score and 8 for 28. Okay, fine, whatever. But Lauby wasn't even rosterable, and obviously that's going to be the case going forward if we don't have Zamir White and Madison back this week. They get the Black Friday game. Sincere McCormick was technically the number 2 running back on the squad in this contest. So. Yeah, hopefully you were able to dodge that because early in the week we got a story that seemed like it was pointing towards him being more involved, and then obviously the beat walked that back. So hopefully you were up to speed there. Otherwise, I'm curious. I'm going to watch this game after the podcast to see what happened with Brock Bowers. I have my suspicions on how they defended him because this was not a Brock Bowers like game. Ended up with 4 for 38. And the big story here, obviously, is Gardner Minshew will be out for the rest of the season. So who's going to be the starter this week? Technically, Aiden O'Connell could come back, but I don't know if he does, given it's a short week. Could be a week of Ritter and then eventually Aiden O'Connell. Let's see. Next game on the list is San Francisco, Green Bay. Tough one on the San Francisco side, just across the board, except for George Kittle. And I think that's what everybody expected with Brock Purdy being out. Purdy could be back this week. We'll see. Over to the other side, Jacobs, man. First 100-yard rusher against the 49ers in the last 55 games. The last person to do so was Justin Fields, which is kind of weird, but that's pretty crazy. Jacobs, 3 touchdowns. This is why you have Josh Jacobs, right? Feed him the rock until he throws up. Jordan Love had a tough outing. Did throw 2 passing scores, but generally tough outing against a good San Francisco defense. Even without Bosa, that's still a good pass defense. But, and Romeo Doubs concussion, so we'll keep an eye on him. Goose egg out of Christian Watson. That's what you get with him. And Jaden Reed, somebody had said, oh, well, he's fading. No, he's not fading. He's Jaden Reed. He's a boom or bust guy. That's what he is. Arizona, Seattle. Seattle in first place now. Back-to-back big wins for them in their division over San Francisco and Arizona. Geno, 254 and 1. The one going to Jackson Smith and Jigba, who is emerging as he's Amon-Ra 2.0. He's so good and really fun to see him asserting himself. This was a floor game out of Metcalf, 4 for 59. On the other side, I really wish they would get somebody other than McBride involved, and I really mean Marvin Harrison Jr. Just the target volume hasn't been there. Really has not been there. McBride was great here, but that seems to be the thing. How do they get it so Marvin Harrison Jr. starts seeing these consistent double-digit target games, and they just aren't doing that right now with him. All right, we'll round it out with the Saquon Barkley show. Holy crap. 255 on the ground, 2 touchdowns, 270-plus yarders. He's the 6th player all-time with 270-plus yard rushing touchdowns in the same game. He had the 9th most rushing yards in the game all time, most since Jamal Charles in 2009. He had 302 scrimmage yards. He's on pace for 2,151 rushing yards, 2,548 scrimmage yards. So both of those would be records. It's insane. Hopefully you didn't face him. AJ Brown getting on the board with no Devontae Smith, 6 for 109 and a score. Goddard had four catches. Those were the only 3 guys involved. Brown, Barkley, and Goddard. And that's how I expected it to be. Otherwise, Jalen Hurts didn't have to do much in this game. They scored 3 rushing touchdowns, and then A.J. Brown had a touchdown, and that's kind of the game. To the other side, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp still doing their thing. 9 for 117 for Nacua, 8 for 60 and a touchdown for Kupp. Still doing their thing. Nice and easy. Kyren got in the end zone. Kupp obviously got in the end zone as well, but it was nice to see Kyren getting in the end zone as a runner for the first time. He had a 3-game streak without a touchdown, but he didn't do anything as a pass catcher, so that put a damper on his overall outlook. Overall, though, at this point, really all we're hoping for out of the Rams is those 3 guys produce, and they did in this game, and they stay healthy, and they did in this game. So that's all you could ask for. I think it was just a tough outing, no doubt about it, against a surging Eagles team that is right now one of the hottest teams in the league. They have a 7-game win streak. The only team with a longer win streak right now is the Lions. It's pretty good for Philly. As of right now, too, in terms of the playoffs, the Lions are obviously steamrolling, but the Eagles are the 2 seed, and by a good bit, because of the logjam in the north. So anyway, there you go. There's the podcast for today. Tomorrow I'll be back. We'll break down the latest from around the NFL in terms of news. We'll talk about what goes down tonight's Monday Night Football game and the top 10 waiver ads this week. Actually, an interesting week. I already have an initial list over at ftnfantasy.com. It should be a fun week on waivers. Always like that. All right, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Blue Sky, and check out the website with the sale going on, ftnfantasy.com. I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.